B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
In Mass.
You're going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When you go back to Cam's MVP season, his top three weapons were Greg Olsen, Ted Ginn Jr., and Jericho Cotri. When you compare that to this group of weapons, albeit not perfect, Cam Newton has a good skill set to work with, and I think this offense will be really hard to defend because it's going to be diverse RPOs, direct quarterback runs, Julian Edelman, running backs that can catch the ball, and Greeny, mark my words, in 2 to 3 weeks, the early storyline that we'll be talking about is, when is Cam Newton getting that extension? Cam Newton, comeback player of the year. Can they keep up with Baltimore and Kansas City in the AFC? So if, and it's a big if Cam Newton stays healthy, I love this match. And more importantly, moving forward, I think he could be the Patriot quarterback for the next 3, 4, 5 years.
All right, Reentry Monday on a Tuesday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. This is what I'm talking about, the Cam Newton narrative. Getting a little stupid now. And so then leave it to Mike Tannenbaum to cap off the stupidity. In 2 to 3 weeks, Cam Newton's getting an extension?
Asinine.
Well, that was quick.
Asinine.
So a guy who just 2 months ago, no one wanted, had no offers, was forced to take a minimum level salary because no one else wanted him. Now, after only 2 or 3 games, is going to be getting an extension from the Patriots to make him the quarterback of the team for the next 3, 4, 5 years, according to Mike Tannenbaum.
I mean, I'll tell you what, let's go along with it just for the hell of it. Okay, let's say it actually happens. Patriots are morons if they do that.
If it's a real deal, meaning if it's real money, real guaranteed money, that'd be the stupidest thing ever. If it's a super team-friendly deal that has all these outs for injury or whatever, then fine. If they have nothing to lose, then what's no problem there. But if it was a real financial commitment on their part, how stupid would that be?
Oh, moronic. Utterly moronic, which is why they won't do it. Because say a lot of things, you know, for all the criticism we hurl at the Patriots, I don't sit here often and tell you that they're stupid. I mean, I'm sure they've done stupid things where I've lashed out at them, but they're not stupid. That would be stupid.
It's and a move Mike Tannenbaum would have made when he was still a GM.
That's such a great point, Murray.
And just after 3 games, it wouldn't make any sense. You still don't know truly if his shoulder is healed. Again, even in this offseason, you've had unnamed GMs questioning the strength of that shoulder. So just given the injury history and the fact that guys really had one great season, it'd be stupid to do it.
You don't know anything about the guy, and you're not going to know anything about the guy or the fit until they go through some bad stuff. You won't know any of it. You're going to give him a contract 3 weeks in? How stupid are you? What are you, nuts? No. No, because I'm presuming the only way he signs it, if it's got a lot of guaranteed money in it. Otherwise, he's going to go to market anyway. It'd be utterly stupid, not to mention what it would say about Jarrett Stidham.
Please. If they want to give him a few more bucks this year because they're just so grotesquely underpaying him and just to sort of do the right thing because he's going to be a starting NFL quarterback, pay him real starter money, like that, I get. There's a chance they would do that. Just to do right by him, because he's come in and done, you know, what they've asked.
I mean, they really should do it.
They should. They're giving him $500,000. That's it. The rest is incentives, and he's got to be on the roster and all of that. So they say, you know, here's a couple million. Just, you know, thanks for the effort. Fine. But if it's like a real long-term deal with real money, with real guarantees, you got to be kidding me.
No, no chance. It'd be utterly, completely stupid. It'd be stupid. Honestly, and in a lot of ways, it would be stupid for him, too. Mike, if he's playing well, and he signs a phony deal like the one you just described, where the opt-outs and the Patriots can get out, then it's dumb on his part.
Yes, exactly.
One way, if there's a deal earlier in the year, someone's doing something stupid.
So anyway, that's just that's the tip of the iceberg of this match made in heaven business that Cam Newton said yesterday on EEI. You know, it's a match made in heaven, which I just think is so ridiculous. It was a match made because they were both the last people standing. It wasn't a match made in heaven. It was what we said, the 2 a.m. booty call. There's no one else available. It was a dance where everyone else was taken, and the only people left not on the dance floor were you and him. And so that was it. There was no one else to dance with. The musical chairs ended, and you were the last two without a chair. So that's why there was a match. He was the only one left to take your minimum salary deal. If that person was Jameis Winston, it would have been Jameis Winston. If that person was Marcus Mariota, it would have been Marcus Mariota. If that person was Andy Dalton, it would have been Andy Dalton. So that's the only reason you ever made the match in the first place. So it's not a match made in heaven. It was a match made of convenience or desperation or circumstance.
Default.
It's default. Thank you. That was a default match.
And based on what Peter King was saying in the winter, it was supposed to be Andy Dalton. That's who Bill sounded like he really wanted, but the price was too high.
God. It's like, but no, now it meant to be. Perfect match. Match made in heaven. It's just so stupid. Like, can we be a little tougher than that? A little more discerning than that? A little, with a little more of a critical eye, or just a little more telling it like it is? If it was such a perfect match, I think he would have been here a little sooner. You know, or he would have made a little more money. Instead, he was the last guy standing for the last team that wanted a quarterback at minimum money. And so he was here. And that could have been, if any of those other guys were here instead of Cam Newton, that's who would have been the guy competing with Jared Stidham and Brian Hoyer. Was Andy Dalton or Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston or whatever. But it turned out to be Cam Newton. So it's just ridiculous. Now it's a match made in heaven? God, that's dumb. It's just a fairy tale. And furthermore, I know it. You know how I know it's not a match made in heaven? Is all the ass-kissing Bill Belichick has had to do for Cam Newton. In fact, it's the ass-kissing that tells me it's not yet a great fit, or it's one that Bill knows he has to manage or work on in some way, shape, or form. Because if Bill were totally comfortable and Cam Newton were totally comfortable, Bill would be as miserable and gruff with him as he would be everybody else. But Cam is now somehow necessitating special treatment, which tells me he needs special treatment, which means it's not exactly the perfect fit you would want for Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick wants to be hard on his players. Bill Belichick does not want to single his players out. Bill Belichick doesn't want to make a big deal about any one guy over any other guy. That's like a tenet, the core tenet of his system, right?
Absolutely. No question about it.
But now he's going on and on and on and on about Cam Newton. Why? It's not what he wants to do. I mean, he'll do it if he thinks that that's what's best to get the most out of the player. Like, I get it, of course. He used to kiss Randy Moss's ass either. But, oh, here's a newsflash. Randy Moss wasn't a perfect match. It worked for 1 year, wham, bam, thank you, man. And then after that, it really wasn't much. He went through the motions in year two, sucked in year three, and they got so tired of his crap that he was gone by game four of year four. And you know why? Because Randy Moss wasn't a perfect match. It just was 1 year lightning in a bottle. And the rest was what it was, which was he's not right for this system. Randy Moss wasn't. Nor was Corey Dillon. Again, 1 year made it work. But anything that was longer than that, it all sought its level because it wasn't meant to be. And so if you're anything more than 1 year with Cam Newton, you're asking for trouble because it's probably not meant to be. And I know it's not meant to be because Bill Belichick has to kiss his ass. I was reading Peter King over the weekend and he goes on, I don't know why Bill Belichick is being so nice to Cam Newton. I'm not inside the walls. I don't know this. But he says, Belichick praising a new player this extravagantly before he plays a game is pretty different. And he says, I believe it's because he's saying to Newton, you're our guy. We believe in you. And there's a good chance Belichick is saying it because he believes Newton needs it and wants the locker room to know exactly how he feels. Ron Rivera did the same thing early in Newton's career in Carolina in 2011 and 2012. Now Newton is behind closed. How is Newton behind closed doors? Says King. Does he need the kind of back padding Belichick is giving? Maybe, says Peter. We'll see. But I believe this was pretty well thought out by Belichick. Which is all just a way of him couching the fact that he's saying Cam Newton needs the soft touch. So that's a good match? That's a match made in heaven? Someone that Bill Belichick has to tiptoe around? No. That's a bad match that maybe they'll make work and Bill will make work and it'll all work out because Cam's a talented guy and Bill's a good coach and he's, you know, is going to do what it takes to get the most out of the player. But that doesn't mean it's a match made in heaven. God!
No, it's not even close to a match made in heaven. Please. Cam Newton, again, go back to, I always worry about these guys who are taking number one overall in any sport. I said the same sort of things about LeBron James. Competitively, like, what do they really do when it comes to that moment? Because they're used to winning all the time. They're used to dominating all the time. They're used to having their asses kissed all the time. Like, I think Cam Newton is, in a lot of ways, that guy. Steve Smith used to criticize Cam Newton for being too sensitive when he was a kid. That didn't work, and you can see where Smith's personality would have worked perfectly here because he's the kind of guy that'll dish it out and take it. So it's the idea that it's a perfect fit is stupid.
I mean, you know it's not a perfect fit when Bill has to go on like that.
Mike, the fact that they ended up here at all is a fire drill. They shouldn't have been in this spot at all.
He's only here because they woke up one day and said, Jared Stidham doesn't get it, not the guy, and we have to do something. And the only one left was Cam Newton. If the only one left was Andy Dalton, believe me, Andy Dalton would be here. And if the only one left was Jameis Winston, Jameis Winston would be here. So this was not a perfect match. It was, again, Murray. He was going back into the bar at 2 a.m. because she's still there.
Yeah.
So fine.
I'm drunk. You're gross. Let's go.
good name for a song. So that's what it is. So let's just tell it like it is. Now, can it work? Of course. Newton's a very talented guy who should be highly motivated, and Bill's a great coach. So it should work. It could work. I'd like to see it work. But that's no perfect match.
Let's give it a month, huh? Did we see like 3 or 4 games first?
I'm drunk. You're gross. Let's go. I like it. It's got country written all over it.
Work on that. Okay, your thoughts on all of it right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Say it.
I didn't say that. Yes, you did.
Yes, they did.
Well, you said it. You said it. I can prove that you said it. You said it.
It's Felger and Maz. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah, for now. And that's the most important thing, because now we're going to get into the season where results actually matter. And that's ultimately how this relationship is going to be judged. Can Cam Newton and Bill Belichick get it done as a combination head coach and quarterback? And I can't speak to Cam's comments on being the black quarterback and maybe why people didn't think it would work. All I can tell you is the people that I talk to that work within the Patriots and some of the players that have been here say Bill embraces all kinds so long as you embrace the culture and the program. You're allowed to be a little bit different. You're allowed to have your own personality. But what they want is when you're in that building that you're putting in the work, that you're supporting your teammates, and that you're getting better. That's it. It's very simple. Go back to Corey Dillon in 2004, unique character, comes over from the Bengals, didn't have a good run, didn't have a great reputation, had a fantastic season for the Patriots. They won a Super Bowl. It later went sideways. Randy Moss in 2007, same thing was said about him. Does he really care about football? Will his antics fly? He loved being a part of the New England Patriots for a couple years. And then in that third season, it started to get a little bit of pushback from him, and that was the end of that relationship. So as long as you buy in, Bill doesn't really care about your dancing, your personality, your social media posts. Just play and play well.
We'll go back to your phones. How about a Grunheiser take from a Maz? That was Mike Giardi on the NFL Network. I have a follow-up thought on that first, though. What is it?
Rodenheiser.
The Rodenheiser take. Sorry, it's a Monday, Tuesday. You know what I mean.
Hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services. Go to Rodenheiser.com to learn more. This whole idea of you know, Newton and Belichick being a perfect fit, the fit was the question from the beginning.
It's the question that Newton asked.
It's the one question that everybody had at the beginning.
Newton said it. When my agent got the call, my first thing was, how are me and Belichick going to mesh? That was Cam Newton's comment, quote unquote. Now you're an a-hole if you say you question the fit?
Unbelievable.
He questioned the fit.
I mean, it's the fit in every way, on the field, off the field. You know, the persona that is Newton, the image that is the Patriots, the button-down, all-business image that is the Patriots, let alone the only one that really matters, which is the football. Even on the football field, it might not be a fit. That's the one that should concern people the most.
I think it's all sort of related. But, Giardi mentioned it there. People are deluded into thinking that Corey Dillon and Randy Moss were fits when they weren't. And you knew it because the longer it went, the worse it got. That means it wasn't a fit. It wasn't meant to be. All it means is that first year when they had a lot of money on the line and careers on the line, you maximized 1 year when you were both motivated to do so. But after that, after you paid each of them, and it came time for them just to be Patriots, they both fell apart because they weren't a fit. So don't you get it? Like, people have all that backwards. No, it was a 1 year marriage of convenience, not a perfect fit, that they both got a lot out of for 1 year. And then the Pats made the mistake of committing to both. So the same thing can happen with Newton. But I'd be careful about that future. I'd be careful about the long-term commitment. I'd wait to see how it goes. They should have saw warning signs with Moss and Dylan, and they didn't. They bought, you know, they bought the fact that he bought into them, and it turns out they didn't. So, I mean, the whole Tannenbaum thing with the extension, too, is like, wow, after 2 to 3 weeks?
That is so stupid.
Okay, back to your thoughts on everything. A lot of you have been waiting patiently. Thanks for doing so. Mike in Wakefield's been waiting patiently on the Edelman captain thing. Go ahead, Mike. Thanks for hanging on.
Hey, guys. I haven't talked to you in a while. I talked to you about a year ago. But so, say Belichick did have something to do with picking the team captains, do you think that he would purposely not put Edelman as a captain because he thinks that's going to make Edelman thrive? Because it seems like Edelman is kind of that guy that needs to be the underdog. And he needs to have that kind of drive to make him better.
So that's,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
Or do you think that they're doing it to make it so that the rest of the league doesn't think that Edelman is going to like really be a threat this year?
No, I think that's too much. Is Bill doing it purposely, taking it away from him to motivate him?
Hey, maybe. No. Oh, I think so. Possibly. You know, because I think deep down Bill knows if Edelman had it his way, he'd be in Tampa. Because that's a better fit for him, and he could be with Tom Brady and thrive in that offense. But he's still here. So, no, I'm not going to make you a captain because I don't really trust you really want to be here that much now that Tom is gone. So maybe that motivates him.
I mean, I don't rule that out. I shouldn't rule it out as summarily as I do. But what if you're asking me? He wants a clean break from the Patriots of the past. Anybody who's connected to Brady, you know, directly or tangentially, you know, you're not going to be part of the new group. The new leadership group is somewhat different. And Edelman's out. He's too close.
He was part of the cabal.
Yeah.
He was part of the insurgency.
Too close, so he's out.
Victor and Lynn. Go ahead, Victor. Thanks for hanging on.
Yeah, hi. I had a comment about Lamar Jackson. I kind of associate him with Kaepernick the year that he took San Fran right all the way to the Super Bowl. And had not the lights went out, he might have won that Super Bowl. And I just think he's going to fizzle out this year. He's first going to start trying to pass the ball a lot. And when that doesn't work out, I think he's just going to run around like a madman. And, you know, hopefully not get hurt. But, you know, it's very probable. And Tom Brady infamously never played well in hot, muggy games. And so going to Tampa Bay was kind of a
okay, Victor, your phone's not going to cut it. But the second thing, Brady doesn't play well in the heat, and so he's not going to play well in Tampa.
Yeah, I dismiss that. So what, Brady can never play well in warm weather now? It's just that's a biological fact.
But don't you, it's totally, I agree with you. I think it's absurd. It's absurd as, okay, so he's playing here in the Northeast. And so you're playing in Foxborough, you're practicing in Foxborough, and then they have to go down for Miami for a hot as balls October game or a Jacksonville game where it's 95 and he's just not used to it. And so he and the team, you know, don't perform well in that situation. Is that because Brady can't play in the heat, or it's just a circumstance of coming from the north to the south? What if he's already in the south and he's been practicing it the whole time and he's used to it and it's a whole different dynamic?
Well, it's another thing.
I mean, why don't you think that's like...
Going to miss the fall weather.
Yeah, I also think it has a lot to do with the opponent and the circumstances. And, you know, look, they had Jason Taylor down there. We used to give him fits, like, you know, or Matt Light fits. Like, you know, to me, there's a lot of variables in there. I don't think it's as simple as he can't play in warm weather.
We've got Mike and Lemonster on the Gordon Hayward situation. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I'm going to be real quick here because it would really take me 3 or 4 minutes to make my point. But without Hayward, the Celtics don't have that point forward that is a three-way threat. You know, he can drive, he shoots, he passes, he has great court sense, and it makes a huge difference from a depth standpoint. You know, he can give Brown and give Tatum a blow when they need it. And that's just so important going forward. And the more these games go on, you know, the more players get run down and everything else. So,
okay, he can also take Tatum and Brown out of the rhythm if his buddy there has given him too many minutes. So that's happened.
But then that gets on Stevens, right?
Well, yeah, I guess. But I don't know. If you have Gordon Hayward there, you're tempted to play him. He's in the rotation. And the next thing you know, Brown or Tatum is sitting or not getting their shots, and they're not
in rhythm.
Reaching their peak. I mean, that's what happens.
Yeah, I try to keep them off the floor when those guys are on there. I play him with the second group. I mean, I don't think that they're going to have a choice. I mean, he's going to come back after missing how much time? A month? And I don't care what anybody says. He's not going to be 100%. So what are you going to do? Put him in the starting lineup and then squeeze Smart out again? No shot. I leave it the way it is, and I put Hayward in the second group. I mean, to me, that's the way to do it.
Cam and Taunton, your thoughts on the Patriots?
Mike, I don't know if you heard Ted Johnson yesterday saying that this team was going to go 7-8. Do you really still think 10 wins is on the table?
Hold on. Ted Johnson said 7-9.
Yeah.
So what is that? I mean,
sounds high.
Yeah, he must have been in a good mood. So I have to change my prediction because my buddy Ted said 7-9?
No, just like Mike, just take a hard look, though. The roster sucks.
It does. The roster is shaky. It is.
People have been, going back and forth to these guys on Twitter all offseason with lift chats. This is not a disrespect towards Bill. If he can get this roster to 9 or 10 wins, that's probably his best coaching job ever. The roster sucks, Mike.
The roster is shaky. As sucks is a little strong, I'll give it shaky.
What if these linebackers can play?
So, like, Ted, 7-9, if I'm just looking at their roster, if they had Joe Average coach, they are a 6 or 7-win team.
Tops.
Okay? That's
five.
It. So,
3.
Belichick, McDaniels, and again, I have this thing where I am a AFC Eastist. I'm biased against the AFC East.
Yeah, same. They all suck. The quarterbacks stink. The coaches suck. I can't put my money and trust the Buffalo Bills. I'm not that dumb.
They suck. They'll always suck. They'll puke on themselves just when you think they won't. As soon as they get to a point where they should pass you, they won't. And, I've been butting my head. I mean, how long do I root for the Jets, to be that team? Believe me, I've tried. I'm willing myself to have some competition, and I've just given up on it. So I think the division's going to puke on itself. And Bill, by the dint of his coaching and everyone else being a bunch of clueless bozos, is going to win some games that he shouldn't. And I still think they're going to win the division.
Yeah, I got him around 9-7. But I'll tell you, after reading Curran's column that he posted yesterday, that was what made me feel like, they might be real bad. Like, for Curran to write that and people.
What was his column? What did he say?
Just giving an assessment of the team and his prediction. He makes it sound like they're going to be like 8-8, maybe 7-9. Well, he didn't really believe in the roster all that much. And after reading it, it's like, they could be real bad.
Was the point it's a rebuilding year and are we ready for it?
Yeah.
I'm not. My whole point to get rid of Brady was not to rebuild. Reload on the fly while winning divisions. And so you don't have to be a Super Bowl contender every single year. Like, I'll allow for that. Everyone has to go through a roster reset, and they do. But you're still winning games in the meantime and still competing in the meantime. I am not ready for a teardown rebuild.
Well, if it is a teardown rebuild, what's Cam Newton doing
Thank
here?
You. What's Bill Belichick doing here?
I mean, you could argue with Bill. You'd say, you want Bill to pick the players.
Yes, fine.
Right? And you want Bill to coach the players in their early development. You want Bill to sort of build the foundation and then, whatever happens after that happens. But with Cam Newton, what the hell is he doing here?
No. You are the modern day San Francisco 49ers or Dallas Cowboys under Tom Landry, who had something like 21 winning seasons in a row or something like that. Something absurd where they went from Roger Staubach to Danny White and Tony Dorsett to the next guy or whatever, and they just kept it going, and they weren't Super Bowl contenders every year, but they sort of reloaded on the fly and were competitive every year while they got another championship mix in there, and that's just what I expect you to be. That's what I expect you to be, and I expect everyone else to suck. So 9-7 winning the division, that's what that feels like to me. Here's Murray's update. We're back with one more segment of your wonderful phone calls.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass. Way more than just a sports talk radio show.
This truly is the apocalypse.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Josh, I just wanted to ask you, with the quarterback like Cam, do you have like a number in your head or anything about how many times you want him to run with the football? And how do you kind of go about preserving his body for the entire season while also allowing him to be, Cam Newton?
Yeah, well, I mean,
That's a great question. You know, really have never had that, you know, that question, you know, needed to be answered. And so we're be smart, I think, with a lot of those different things. And especially, I would say, early in the season, we've talked a lot about this with our team. You know, we don't have a player on our roster right now that's played a 70-play game. We don't have a player on a roster that's played a 40-play preseason game. So, you know, depending on what the weather is early and all the rest of it, I think our team could go through the same thing, you know, and in terms of trying to use our depth, I would hope that everybody that's active is going to participate and contribute in terms of protecting ourselves as the game moves along. But in Cam's case, you know, he's very good in terms of communication about where he's at, his body, and those types of things. I'm sure that we'll do a good job of monitoring that along with the rest of our guys as we head into the year.
Rick Radzik Summer Mix 2020. Got new rejoins. I'll take it. So that was Josh McDaniels today. Did he drop a hint in there? I wasn't anticipating that. I just wanted to focus on the rushing attempts for Cam Newton. Like, if you have to monitor Cam Newton's running attempts, you've sort of defeated the purpose of Cam Newton.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think the whole thing is run him. Run him like a banshee. Run wild. You know, get the full Cam Newton. You know, so you can get the most out of him. He can get the most out of his season. And, you know, then he moves on somewhere else and his long-term durability is someone else's concern. But in there, he said, no one's played a 70-game preseason, never mind a 45-game preseason. I would hope that everyone who's active will contribute. Right? He said that.
So I see what you mean. This is the whole rotating quarterback thing.
So is he implying that that's going to happen at the quarterback position too? He wrapped that into the quarterback answer.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
He
can we play the beginning of it again?
No, it's in the middle. It's in the middle.
You're trying to find the transcript now.
Yeah, so I don't want to hear the whole thing again. But go ahead, Jimmy. Just do it. And then we'll play another rejoin so I can hear another rejoin.
And especially, I would say, early in the season, we've talked a lot about this with our team. You know, we don't have a player on our roster right now that's played a 70-play game. We don't have a player on a roster that's played a 40-play preseason game. So, you know, depending on what the weather is early and all the rest of it, I think our team could go through the same thing, you know, and in terms of trying to use our depth, I would hope that everybody that's active is going to participate.
Is he telling you something there?
Maybe.
They did hang on to all three quarterbacks.
Oh, Bill's going to be pissed. Wait till Josh shows up to work tomorrow.
Isn't this what they do in college where they don't have a preseason? So
definitely.
Quarterback yeah. X definitely. Starts here. Quarterback Y starts in the third quarter.
Definitely.
And well, then, I wouldn't rule that out.
And based on all the reports before we started getting, you know, the whole snow job here with Cam Newton and the perfect fit and all this stuff, Brian Hoyer supposedly looked the best at camp. Oh, God. Oh, don't make me.
So when he says weather, you know, what he's talking about is a 95-degree day and everyone's, you know, bleeding out, for lack of a better term. 73 and rain? Is that what my weather says?
Yeah, it's still a little early, though, right? It's only Tuesday. Okay. I have a better idea on, like, Friday.
Of course. I'm just saying. If it's going to be a blazer, and, well, I don't know. Did he just drop a hint about the quarterback thing?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, again, there was some of that crap going around in the preseason about them rotating quarterbacks. And
I mean, it's the whole thing a preseason deal that, you know, usually you have a 40-snap preseason game to ramp up or whatever, and now you're going from 0 to 90 snaps? I don't know. A guy who didn't even play last year?
I mean, Bill's arrogant enough to think he can win that way, isn't he?
Definitely.
Right? Especially because, you know, it's Miami.
Definitely.
I mean, it's the Dolphins. They're playing Ryan Fitzpatrick.
So is it all three quarterbacks, or is it just
I don't know.
Cam Newton and
I'm
Brian
just,
Hoyer? Because Stidham's the third quarterback.
Two, Stidham sits.
It just occurred to me. We hope anyone who's active would contribute. So he said that in relation to being asked about Cam Newton's workload or running his running attempts is really what that was. Just bookmark it. Keep it in mind. Bobby in Boston. Go ahead, Bobby. What do you got?
Oh, I hope you guys are all doing well.
You too.
My thing is, I think it's reasonable to assume that Bill Belichick contacted Ron Rivera and had a long conversation about Cam Newton, and a lot of the way that he's treating Newton is based on this conversation with Ron Rivera.
So, Bob, I think that Belichick probably did some reconnaissance and some due diligence on Cam Newton. My guess, Bobby, is also he did some on Andy Dalton. He probably did some on Jameis Winston. And in fact, there I think there were even reports of that at one point. Wasn't there a little linkage there at one point?
With Jameis Winston?
I thought so.
There was some speculation coming here. I don't know if they ever, you know, there was ever a report of who they asked about him.
So, again, I think Bedard's been closest to the bone in terms of their quarterback plan, and that was they were going to offer minimum money to whatever veteran was left standing to come in and compete with Stidham, who at the time they probably believed in or thought had a chance to win it. And so then there would be a competition between Hoyer, Stidham, and Player X. Whoever Player X was would be a quarterback who would accept no money and would have a veteran, some sort of veteran experience, but would accept coming in and being the backup and et cetera, et cetera. And it turned out to be Cam Newton. So my guess is they did due diligence on several quarterbacks, kept in touch with several quarterbacks, and had things in the works with several quarterbacks, but they all got signed by everybody else, and Newton was the last one standing.
I would think they had to do it that way. Like, you know, as much as people think Bill Belichick has all the answers, he's not so prescient that he knows who's going to be left at the end. I mean, this some of this stuff with Bill gets asinine. Like, you know, that he's got all the answers and can predict everything. He just waited to see what shook out. So along the way, he had to be in touch with some of these other guys.
Absolutely.
I still think Andy Dalton would have been a better fit here.
Me too.
In terms of the way they played, you know, under Brady anyway.
Well, they wouldn't have to change offenses with different guys running on the
field.
And that's the one caveat here with, you know, the thing we just mentioned with Josh McDaniels. Teasing, maybe. They're going to play multiple quarterbacks because it's like a preseason game and no one's gotten in 90 reps, never mind 70, never mind 40. They're going to have to run two different sets, two different styles of offense. Sean and Dudley, go ahead, Sean.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. What do you got?
Good. So, one, I think you guys are spot on with Cam Newton. He's either going to be a hit or a bust. You know, he's either going to be great or he's going to get injured and be bad. But when it comes to Tom Brady and Tampa and the heat being bad for him, you know, it's a simple physiological concept. It's acclimatization. It takes 2 weeks to be acclimatized to an environment.
Right. Acclimatization.
Nothing to Tom Brady.
Well, if he lives there, it's going to mean less. It's like, yeah, they go out to Denver and start sucking air. Well, what if they lived in Denver and trained in Denver?
Yeah, get used to it.
Do you think they'd have the same problems?
No, they would get acclimatized.
Acclimatization. So then they fly down to Miami after being up here, and it's a little hot. Well, what if they're there the whole time, and they're training down there, and they're used to it down there? Do you think that, like, this thing that Brady's record in heat is like, don't you think it's a little different when that's your home environment versus you're flying into it for a day?
What? Yeah, but Brady's different, Felga, because his heart's in Foxborough.
That's not quite apples to apples with that one. Our buddy Tommy's in Lynn. Tommy, thanks for hanging on. What do you got for us today?
All right, Felga, I have a question for you. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. The Patriots players that hopped it out earlier and before the season started, do you think we could take them back if they wanted to come back? What's your input on that?
My input is no. I don't think you can, Tommy. I don't think you can change your mind. But I don't think they would do it in the first place because they make too much money. I think they're happy with the money that they're saving. What's so funny?
Yeah, they hopped it out.
Yeah.
It was a hop, to skip, and a jump right onto the injured list.
They're really into IPAs.
They hopped it out. I'm sorry, go.
Sean in Hampton. He's up next with Felger Mass on the Patriots. Hi, Sean.
Thank you for taking my call, gentlemen. You know, I hear a lot of talk about this interview about him saying this is the match made in heaven or whatever. What has been ignored about this whole interview was that ... What he says after that is that he compares his stint here to a JUCO, his JUCO experience. So, like it's a ... Yes, match made in heaven ... for me. Like, it's a match made in heaven for Cam Newton because this is a bridge year for him, and he's going to go out and make money. And even if he goes 8-8, which most of us expect him to do,
it's a great point. It's so. Did he say that? It's like a JUCO year for me.
He compared it to JUCO. Yeah. He compared it to his year at JUCO.
Well, I thought he said that.
Sean, thanks for the call.
Sorry, I thought he said that in response to playing before an empty stadium.
Oh.
And again, I'd have to go back because I only caught this in bits and pieces. But I thought someone asked him about playing in an empty stadium. He said, look, I played in a lot of different environments. To me, this would be the equivalent of going back to JUCO. Okay.
So either way, this is a better fit for Newton than it is for Belichick. Cam Newton, if you want to, you know, rehab your career and your image and get your career back on track, Belichick and the Patriots historically have been a great place to go do it.
Now, correct.
It's different when you are Tom Brady versus playing with Tom Brady. But still, I think, yes, if Cam Newton can take the coaching, you know, win at a high level and do it with someone like Belichick, I think he's got a lot to gain. So, and all he has to do is sort of tone down the me stuff a little bit, and he's in. Like, that's all he has to really do. And so it's really not much of a sacrifice for Cam Newton. I think the Patriots have to bend more to him than the other way around. So I don't think it's a perfect fit for the Patriots, but for Cam Newton, it's a good fit. It's a good place to rehab your career. I think you have a better chance to do it here than if you had gone, I don't know, Chargers or somewhere else.
Well, and the other thing is, for Newton, it obviously expands his future, right? It enhances his future. How does it help the Patriots' future?
No, it actually may set back the quarterbacks they have in mind to be the next guy.
I mean, in fact, you know, you look at them and say, I still don't know what the future is independent of quarterback. They have so many freaking questions on that roster. I don't know what the future is of the Patriots. I mean, if I'm going to be honest, the only reason I have faith right now is the coach. That's really it. I mean, when you get to the at the end of the day, if they had this roster and Josh McDaniels coaching, what would you say?
Go.
Right. 6-10.
I mean, again, if it's Josh McDaniels' first year with, you know, the
0-16 is in mind.
They wouldn't be that bad, right? But still, it'd be the only reason I'm even giving them a shred of credibility is because of Bill. That's
Jimmy,
it.
Jimmy, you think they're going to suck?
3-13.
Love it.
This roster is terrible.
Roster's not good. All right, we'll pick this up tomorrow. Why not? In the meantime, here comes the final word.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go, and that's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Well, it was a Big Boy Tuesday here today on the show, and Greg Bedard came to us via Zoom from the woods, and with that came the connection problems here on Felger and Mass.
Yeah, you suck. You blow. And I would say, Gatch, you smell.
Get it.
We have a problem.
What?
Greg's line dropped.
You're kidding.
Oh, come on.
Oh, you got to be kidding. Serves him right for being in the freaking backwoods up there.
Beaver bite through the line or something?
I bet you.
Or he went foraging for nuts and honey.
Seriously.
His hands are all sticky.
Cubby little cubby all stuffed with fun.
He's sticking his hand in the honey jar. When we get him back, we'll get him back.
Willy-nilly-silly old bear.
Number 10, Maz. What did you make of this attempt by an unnamed team to buy a draft pick by executing a sign-and-trade for Jadeveon Clowney? Now, the teams, I've read a couple, the Browns or the Ravens, the Saints, there were a couple of these teams involved. There's been a couple different reports, so I'm not sure exactly who was involved, but the deal was this. The Browns were going to sign Jadeveon Clowney to a $15 million contract, pay him a $5 million signing bonus, then trade him immediately to the Saints for a draft pick called a third-round pick. So basically, that $5 million signing bonus is the responsibility of Cleveland, the $10 million salary is the responsibility of New Orleans, and Cleveland gets the draft pick out of it. The league nixed it. Should the league have nixed it?
Yes.
Longest question ever, by the way.
Sorry.
Greg's on 10 if you're interested.
Okay, very good. Greg, who's the most overrated team in the league?
I think it's the Bucs. I don't think they're going to compete at a Super Bowl level now.
You can do better than that.
Hey, I'm going to let you go. Your phone blows.
I think Greg's back with us, by the way.
Let's do it over.
How are you talking to us, Greg? Where are you?
I'm in Maine. I'm on a beach. I don't know.
Okay, fine. So, go ahead. Okay, but if your phone starts to blow, I'm going to hang up on you again.
I know. Baby blue
in the deep blue sea. Ryan Fitzpatrick has been named the starter for the Dolphins on Sunday. Is that the right call for Miami?
Of course it is. Ryan Fitzpatrick kicked the Patriots' ass last time.
I'm going to let you go. Your phone sucks.
I don't know what happened. The internet just dropped out, and I don't have good cell service here. So, sorry about that.
No problem. Okay.
I just wanted to avoid 10 questions. That's all. You're just a little white
whale on the go. It's a small thing, but it's kind of an important thing.
The best part of that whole thing is, okay, but if your phone sucks, I'm going to let you go. I know.
Yeah.
Like, yep, I know it's coming, but let's go. We'll see how long it lasts.
Hardy, thanks for putting that together. As always, we appreciate it. We have the baseball reporters today. That's what we got.
It's getting hard, man.
I'm telling you, I feel
I can't
you.
I can't lie to you. It's getting hard. The Red Sox are playing a doubleheader against the Phillies today. Not that anybody gives a rat's ass. So all discussion really with the Red Sox relates around big picture. And something occurred to me today that I think, frankly, is quite disturbing if you're a baseball fan or a Red Sox fan. And we'll start there.
Okay, Maz, we'll disturb you. Coming up in 90 seconds, no commercials, just an update. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 with more reaction. Paul Perillo will join us in the 4 p.m. hour. It is football season. We'll talk to you then. See ya.
Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.